Today we are going to get into a new topic, and part one is, are all Christians the same? You know, this is an apologetic subject because as Christians we are to give answers to those who have any questions, and we are called to give an answer with gentleness to anything that other people have any questions. And the question is, I think a lot of people ask the question that, you know, how come there are so many denominations in Christianity? How come that you guys don't believe like the Islam, Buddhism, and Hinduism? You know, it's different Christianity. How come you guys are not really united in one? In a basic sense. And we are going to go through this in next week too, for us to get the whole context of the sermon. Now, there are about, according to reports, according to statistics, there are about 2 billion people who say they are Christians in the world. 2 billion, that's a lot. A lot. And it's amazing, they put these 2 billion people, if you have these 2 billion people and categorize them, and some of these people fall into Roman Catholicism and Protestants, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, Christian Science, Seventh-day Adventists, and all these people fall into that 2 billion number. Now, just because somebody says they are Christian or carry a Bible or have a church and have a cross, are they all true Christians? So we are going to answer this question in the light of the Word of God, in the light of the Bible. Psalm 119 verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." That means God's word is true. It is settled in heaven, and there's nothing we can add or nothing we can take away. It is only his word is true. And Psalm 119:160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endured forever." God's word is true. Okay, it is the word of God that is going to show who is a Christian and who is not. Now, the most important thing we need to understand in Christianity, Christ is the center. Okay, it is the center of Christianity is Christ. So Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man come to the Father but by me." And also the word of God says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away." Acts 4:12 says that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. The only name for salvation is Christ Jesus. Now let us find out briefly. I'm going through briefly, okay? And some of these things. But first of all, turn with me to Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew 7:15. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." And also turn with me to Acts chapter 20, verse 29. Acts 20:29. Paul said, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." How did Paul get these savage wolves? Of course, from Jesus, who already said in Matthew 7:15. Now, Jesus gave a warning to the church that false prophets would come. All right? And Paul said they would come within the church, from the church. That means claiming to be Christians. Okay? Having the false prophets teach what? False doctrines. So easy. The false prophets say they are from God, but they are not. Right? So we cannot look to their outward appearance, because outwardly they look very religious, holy, and look very sincere and honest. They will not say, I'm a false prophet. They will say, I'm a true prophet of God. I teach the true doctrines. They will say, all the others are wrong, but I'm right. They will even say, I have scriptures. I use the word of God. So they will never say they are false prophets. They will look very good outside. They will look sincere. They will speak the Christian language and look just like a sheep. So, we need to uncover their true identity by taking the sheep covering away. Then we will see it's not a sheep, it's a wolf. Let us go down the list. I'm going through only the major, some of these major denominations, in a sense, like Roman Catholicism, Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, and so forth like that. Of course, Roman Catholicism says that they are true Christians. They believe in true one God. They believe in Jesus in His incarnation, His death, His bodily resurrection. His belief in the Trinity. Does this make them true Christians? Roman Catholics look very much like Christians. They have Bibles in their homes, go to church, they have a statue of Jesus in their churches, bleeding. They look like the true sheep of God. They look extremely religious people. But take away their sheep's clothing, we see a wolf. Roman Catholicism trusts in the Pope. They say he is the head of the church, but he is the representative of God. He is the head of the church. The Bible says just the opposite, saying that Christ is the head of the church in Colossians 1:18. And Colossians 1:18 says Christ is the head of the church. So, who is telling the truth? The Bible is telling the truth, and the Roman Catholicism is lying. Both cannot be true. And when you look at history, of course, they say that Pope is infallible, never makes mistakes, but when you look at history, you will see that Pope is, they have made many mistakes, they are human just like anybody else. And they have even contradicted their statements. But Jesus never made mistakes, because He is holy. He is from above. He is the truth. Jesus said, I am the truth and the life. So it is not through the Pope, nor Mary, nor the saints. It is through Jesus Christ we have access to God. He is the only mediator between God and man, because 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5 says, there is only one God, one mediator between God and men, that the man, Christ Jesus. It is not through Mary, it is not through the saints, it is not through Paul. So the Roman Catholics are wrong. They are not telling the truth. They are lying. They love to worship their images, their statues, which is contrary to the Word of God. The Word of God says in the Ten Commandments, Exodus chapter 20, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, that is in the water underneath the earth, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them. And here again, we see they are not telling the truth. Of course, Roman Catholicism believes that there is no salvation outside of the Roman Catholic Church. All cults believe this. That is how you know this is a cult. One must believe that the Roman Catholic sacraments are necessary for salvation. They say these sacraments are necessary. One must believe that Mass is a propitiation sacrifice for sin. One must embrace the teachings of the Immaculate Conception and the Assumption of Mary. One must accept the Roman Catholic teachings and purgatory. So all these things are traditions taught not in the Bible. They are taught by men. It is not in the Word of God. That's why Jesus said, Mark chapter 7, verse 7, in vain they worship me, and in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. For laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men. And verse 9 says, all too well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your traditions. Of course, Jesus said that to the Pharisees, who were very religious, just like the Roman Catholics of that day. So, what is the verdict? May God be true, exposing the lies of Roman Catholicism in the light of the Bible. Right? So, the Bible says that we cannot add anything to the grace of God. We cannot add works to the grace. The cross alone of Christ is sufficient for our salvation. Mass is not the way to have any sacrifices, because Hebrews chapter 10 verse 12 says, but this man, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. Just one sacrifice was needed. Not many sacrifices every Sunday. Now let's go to Jehovah's Witnesses. Jehovah's Witnesses also say they are the only true Christians. All the others are lost. And let us see some of their beliefs very briefly. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is a little God, and God the Father is the Almighty God. They claim to be the true prophets of God. They are the only true prophets of God. And they too come just like sheep. But they are wolves inside. Isaiah chapter 44 verse 6 says, thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, beside me there is no God. God said there is only one God, and that's Him. There's no one after me, there's no one before me, there's only one God. And he goes on to say, verse 8, do not fear, nor be afraid. Have I not told you from the time, and I declared it, you are my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Of course, no. Indeed, there is no other rock, I know not one. So, there is only one God. So the Bible is very clear on this, there is only one God. But Jehovah's Witnesses say, well, Jesus is also a little God. God the Almighty is the Almighty God. Now if you turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 verse 8, you can totally tear apart their doctrine. Revelation 1:8. The Word of God says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. The Bible doesn't contradict. The Bible already said in Isaiah 46, I am the beginning and the end. And Revelation, the end of the book, says, the person is saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, and the beginning and the end. So the person who is talking is not contradicting with Isaiah, but telling the same thing. Right? is agreeing with Isaiah. Then he says, who is, when, who was, and who is to come, the Almighty. So he's talking, is Almighty God. Of course, Jehovah's Witness will agree with that. Now, if you go to Revelation 1:17, and then when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead, but he said, he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. Was Jehovah God dead? Of course not. That was Jesus. And behold, I am alive forever. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and death. Here, Jesus is saying, he is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. Isaiah 44:6 says, God is the first and the last. So Jesus is God. And Jehovah's Witnesses cannot see. They are not good in mathematics. They cannot understand because they are spiritually blind. So it's very clear that Jehovah's Witnesses also believe that at the resurrection, Jesus, when he rose, he didn't have his real body. It was not his real body when he rose from the dead, but it was a spirit. Okay, now let us see what the Bible says in Luke 24:37. Jesus, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples, and the disciples thought that they saw a ghost or a spirit, not the real Jesus, because for them Jesus is dead. So if you see somebody who is dead and after 3 days you see that person, you think, oh goodness, this is a ghost, right? That's what they believe. But see what Jesus said in verse 37. Jesus said, but they were terrified and frightened and supposed they had seen a spirit. Then he said to them, Jesus said to them, why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your hearts? Behold, my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Jesus is identifying himself as, it is, look at my hands and look at my feet. Why did he say, look at my hands and my feet? Why? Yeah, he was crucified. You can see the marks of his crucifixion. And then he says here, handle me and see, for a spirit or a ghost does not have flesh and bones as I have. Touch me. I got flesh and bones. A spirit doesn't have that. So Jesus is telling the truth, and Jehovah's Witnesses are lying. So whom you believe, Jesus or the Jehovah's Witnesses? Of course, Jesus is telling the truth. So, also, there are so many false prophecies of Jehovah's Witnesses. The Bible says, if there's a false prophecy, somebody gave a false prophecy, he's not a, if somebody tells something in the future that is going to happen and it doesn't happen, that person is a false prophet. Alright? Deuteronomy 18:21. And he says here, and if you say in your heart, how shall we know that the word which the Lord has not spoken? Verse 22 says, when a prophet speaks in the name of the Lord, if the thing does not happen or come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord has not spoken. The prophet has spoken it presumptuously. You shall not be afraid of him. He spoke in his own imagination. It's not what the Lord spoke. Now, the Watchtower magazine in 1899 said that the end of the world will come in 1914. They said the battle of, I'm quoting what they said in The Time is at Hand on page 109, 1908 edition, said the battle of the great day of God Almighty, which will end in AD 1914, with the complete overthrow of Earth's present rulership is already commenced. So, they predicted 1914 will be the end of the world, Armageddon will happen. 1914 came, there was no end of the world. So they changed their dates to 1925. And then they said in 1922, Watchtower magazine, on page 262, the date 1925 is more distinctly indicated by the scriptures than 1914. We can see more clearly now is 1925, more than 1914. So 1925 came, there's no end of the world. So what is their excuse this time? Then they said, some anticipated that the work would end in 1925, but the Lord did not state so. The difficulty was that the friends inflated their imaginations beyond reason, and that when these imaginations burst asunder, they were inclined to throw away everything. I'll tell you, they are liars. They lied not one time, not two times, three times and more. Actually, there are so many prophecies they have said and it did not come true. What is the verdict? Jehovah's Witnesses are not true Christians. They too are false prophets in sheep's clothing. In the light of the Bible, they are not true Christians. They are liars, basically. What about the Mormons, the Latter-day Saints? The Mormons, just like the Roman Catholics and Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons too will use the Bible. They will say they are the only true Christians. They believe in Jesus Christ, they will say, and also they have very strong family values. Mormons, Mormon Tabernacle Choir, they have heard the Osmonds. Of course, you know, Michael Jackson is a Jehovah's Witness, by the way. If you like Michael Jackson, he's a Jehovah's Witness. He's not a Christian. Alright? And so, now, the Mormons, they have very strong family values. And they look very sincere people, nice people. They look just like sheep. But when you take away their sheep clothing, you will see they are ferocious wolves. Now, I'm not saying that the people are ferocious wolves, okay? Now, people look very sincere and very honest and very, they are very sincere people. It's not the people who are ferocious wolves. It's the doctrine, their teachings, okay? It's what you believe in the teachings is what is essential for salvation. Now, Mormonism believes in many gods. And they say you too can become a god. And you can have many wives and can have just have this universe can be filled with a lot of gods. And they believe that God the Father was a man like us before. And he progressed to become God. And you too can progress to become God. Who said that? Genesis, Satan said to Adam and Eve, you too will become like God. Right? And this is in the teachings of the prophet Joseph Smith. And the Bible declares in Deuteronomy 6:4 very clearly, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. The Bible says the Lord is one. God is one. The Mormons are saying, no, you too can become God. There are anybody can become a god. Bible says no. Who is telling the truth? Mormons are lying. The Bible is telling the truth. Because Isaiah 43 verse 10 says, Isaiah 44 6 is also good. 43 10. are my witnesses, says the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall be after me. So, before me there was no God, there's not going to be one after. Very clear. So the Mormons are not telling the truth. The Bible is telling the truth. The Mormons are lying. The Bible is telling the truth. God was never a man. But the Mormons said God the Father was a man. He progressed to be God. That is all lies. Look, Psalm 90, verse 2. It says, before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Everlasting to everlasting, you are God. That means he never progressed from man to Godhood. And turn with me to Numbers chapter 23, verse 19. Now says God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie. Really, do it. No, son of man that he should repent, or said he will he not do, or has spoken and he will not make it good. God is not a man, he will lie. God is telling the truth. The Mormonism, Brigham Young is a man who lied. So Brigham Young and Joseph Smith, they are men who lie, but not God. Hosea chapter 11, verse 9. I will not execute the fierceness of my anger. I will not again destroy Ephraim, for I am God and not man. John chapter 4, verse 24 said, God is spirit. And also, Mormonism says that God the Father, he came down to this earth, knocked on Mary's doors, and had sex with Mary to have Jesus Christ. And also, they say that Jesus and Satan, they are brothers. Now, the Mormons will not tell. They will not preach this to people, the Mormon people. They will not tell. But their doctrine says so. This is their teaching. Okay? And you will see this in achieving a celestial marriage in page 129 in Mormon doctrine. And also page 546, 547, and 742. In Mormon doctrines. And what is the verdict? Mormonism looks very much like Christians. They wear white shirts, usually black pants, and a tie. They used to go on bikes, now they go in cars. And they go house to house, knocking on doors, telling that we are Christians. With a Bible. But I asked them. I asked many Mormons when I said, are you a Christian? Yeah. Do you believe that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer? They look at me, amazed. They say, yes. Can you show me that in the Bible? Well, they can show. The Bible is telling the truth. They are not. They are liars. Now, what about Seventh-day Adventism? Seventh-day Adventism, they believe in the Trinity. They believe that the true deity of Jesus Christ, saying that Jesus is God. They believe in the bodily resurrection of Jesus. But does these essential doctrines make themselves Christian? The core issue is salvation. And salvation is of grace alone and faith alone. Seventh-day Adventists, they profess to teach salvation by grace through faith. Their terminology can be orthodox, but when you define their terminology, you see a different meaning in grace. when you get to the bottom of it, you will see that their grace is a grace plus the law. Grace plus the law and faith plus works. So Seventh-day Adventists teach, they teach that you need to worship on Saturday, not on Sunday. Saturday is the Sabbath day. But of course the Bible says very clearly, the true Christians, the Sabbath day is Sunday, according to the first day of the week, according to the Webster Encyclopedia Dictionary, the meaning of Sunday is the first day of the week. And after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the disciples met and fellowship and worship not on Saturday, but on Sunday. Jesus appeared to his disciples not on Sunday, but on Sunday. So Jesus had fellowship on Sunday. The disciples worshiped Jesus in Matthew 28 after the resurrection on Sunday. And in Acts chapter 20, verse 26, they had fellowship on Sunday. Acts chapter 20, verse 6 says that, "But we sailed away from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread, and in 5 days joined them at Troas, where we stayed 7 days. Now on the first day of the week," that is Sunday, "when the disciples came together to break bread," that means they had communion on Sunday, they have fellowship, "Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued the message until midnight." Paul gave a sermon on Sunday. That's the first day of the week. And offerings were collected not on Saturday, but on Sunday. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. Why did the offerings were collected on Sunday? Because that's where they had fellowship on Sunday. Okay? So, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1. "You must do also." So, Paul gives this commandment. "On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, when there be no collections when I come." So here collections were made, offerings were done on Sunday. Why? That's where people all gathered together. They were together. It's easy to make the collections when everybody is together, because that's where they worship the Lord. Now, of course, the Seventh-day Adventists, they will not eat pork, they will not eat shrimps, anything that nature. They are very health conscious, because Ellen G. White, the founder of Seventh-day Adventists, they say she was a prophetess of God, who also gave some false prophecies at the end, and she was a health conscious person. Alright, so they hold to the ceremonial part of the law. And they say we should not eat this, that, and so forth like that, because the Bible says you are not supposed to eat those things. They hold to the ceremonial part of the law. And one day I met a Seventh-day Adventist. I said, "You have violated the law." He said, "What?" I said, "Yeah." And I said, "Look at the shirt you are wearing. You are wearing a shirt. That shirt has a mix, it's mixed with another clothing. It's woven, this shirt is woven of two materials. And that's against the law of God." Leviticus chapter 19, verse 19 says that, "Not to wear clothing woven of two kinds of material." And that's in the law. So I say, "You have violated the law." After that, never saw him again. So Paul gives a severe warning to Judaizers who claim to be Christians, yet you had to Judaizers. What they did was they believed in Christ plus law. They want to bring back the Mosaic law back again, saying, "Unless you're baptized, you're not saved." Unless you're circumcised, you're not saved. Unless you have the Moses, the law of Moses, you trust in these, you're not saved. So what did Paul say? This is exactly what the Seventh-day Adventists say. Jesus plus the law. Paul said, Galatians 1:8, we, an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached you, let it be accursed. And here we see that then Paul goes on to say, as we have said before, so now I say, if anyone preaches any other gospel to you than what you have received, let him be accursed. Conclusion, verdict, Seventh-day Adventists, although they believe in the Trinity, the bodily resurrection, the deity of Christ, they claim to be true Christians, but they add to the grace of God, so they have another gospel. Now let me tell you, the conclusion for the matter of this is, all these people add to the grace of God. Everybody, the Roman Catholics, Jehovah's Witnesses, the Mormons, they say that the angel Moroni came from heaven and gave a message to Joseph Smith. And the Bible says, even if an angel comes and gives you a message, do not believe. Do not believe, because if it's add to the grace of God. So the conclusion is, whether you are a Protestant or any other Christian, the name does not mean anything. It is important to believe in Orthodox, historical Christianity. The Bible alone is the Word of God. It is the supreme rule for our faith, the Bible. And salvation is found not in the traditions of the church, nor of men's teachings. Salvation is not found through Mary or the saints or now watchtower materials, okay? Now Jehovah's Witness teachings, now Joseph Smith or Mormonism, or we don't have to read the Book of Mormons apart from the Bible to understand the whole truth of God. We don't have to read Mary Ellen's teachings to know the whole truth of God? No. The truth is found only in the Bible, and you cannot add to the grace of God. You cannot add to the Word of God. Now, many Christians, I categorize these people, all these, as Christian cults, because they say that they are Christians, but they are not. And most of these people, they don't believe in hell. You know, they have the Bible. All these people have a Bible, plus another book, added book. You got to have this book, plus the Bible, you had to have this book. You need to read this book. And they had Jesus, plus another ruler, another leader. You need to believe their teachers and trust their teachings also in order to be saved. Ecclesia and Christo also, that's the same thing. So, not only in trusting in the person of Jesus Christ alone that saves one, but plus their books, their materials, plus another teacher. Remember, Jesus asked, Matthew chapter 16, verse 15, who do you say that I am? Who do you say that I am? It is not enough to believe in Jesus. A lot of people believe in Jesus. But you need to confess who he is. That is what Jesus is asking. Not just believing in me, but you need to confess who I am. The answer is, Jesus is the Christ. The Christ of God. And the true Messiah that was prophesied by all the prophets from the beginning of the world. This Messiah was not just a mere man, but he was a divine person, the Son of God. not by creation of God, nor as angels and men having the same nature, but having the equality of God. Because Jesus said, I and my Father are one. John 10:30. So one is saved by Christ alone. Realizing that you have sinned against Almighty God. Meaning, when you say you have sinned, it means you have offended God. Seriously, offended God. Violated God's authority, violated His commandments, and that you deserve hell. But trusting in Christ's work on the cross alone for your salvation, not of your righteousness, but the righteousness of Christ alone is sufficient for salvation. Realizing that salvation is by grace alone. The way to salvation is not by works. All the cults believe that the way to salvation, from Roman Catholicism to Jehovah's Witnesses to Mormons, Seventh-day Adventists, and everybody believes that the way to salvation, you need to have works added to salvation. And that is wrong. You cannot add works or the law of God or the traditions or your own sincerity to the gospel. You cannot add anything. Because if you add these things, it is not going to be by grace alone. Because Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 says, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God. A gift of God is a gift that you don't have to earn anything or do anything. You cannot add anything to a gift. That's why Romans chapter 11 verse 6 says, and if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, it is no more grace, Apostle Paul said. Very clear. So you cannot add anything. But all these people, they add something. But the true Christian, he is a committed Christian. Once we are truly committed, confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that you are truly born again, you need to be born again to be a Christian. That means you are not born from earthly nature. You have a second birth. That second birth is from above. You become a different person. You are a different creature. All old things have passed. The new has begun. There will be fruits coming. That means before you used to get upset, angry, and so forth like that. You backbite, you get into all worldly things and worldly material. And you become like the people of the world, and all those things are crucified in Christ. You become a new person now. There'll be new fruits in your life. Before you used to be very selfish, greedy. Now you're not greedy anymore. You're very giving, and you're not selfish anymore. You don't think about yourself all the time. Before, you're always, you come first, all the others are rest. I am first. I need to think about myself first. All those things are gone anymore. Now you are, you're a different person. You're a Christian, and there are fruits coming up, and you become different. So works is not the way to salvation. Works becomes the result of salvation. The result of being true born again is works and good works. Okay, that is a true Christian. And so we believe that works are not necessary for salvation, but works are as a result of salvation that comes as just a natural thing for us to do. Because we are born again, meaning we are born from above, and God dwells in the true Christian. Okay, Holy Spirit lives in us. And that's how you know that you are true Christian. And that's how you know that everybody, all those 2 billion people who say that they are Christians, of course, this world should be very good without any problems with 2 billion people. Okay? And so important, we need to not only preach the gospel. The one side of the coin says to preach the gospel, and the other side of the coin tells to defend the gospel. And we should not be ashamed to call those who are wrong, wrong. And if they are wrong, we should tell them that they are wrong. So their eyes will be open and say, "Oh, am I wrong? Yeah, you're wrong. If somebody has cancer, you're not going to tell, well, it's okay, I love you, you are alright. You got to tell them, you got to go and see a doctor, you got cancer. You got to tell the truth. It's the same thing. You got to tell them that they're wrong. And they're wrong. That's what the Bible says. In the Bible, Old Testament prophets, they declared the whole will of God. They were not scared. They told the truth. So we got to do the same thing and expose false doctrines. That's one of the basic things that the church has to do, exposing false doctrines. Not say when Jehovah's Witnesses comes and knock on your door, or the Mormons comes and knock on your door, "Hi, I got something to give you. Who are you? We are Christians." You tell them, "You guys, do you believe that Jesus, do you believe that Jesus is an angel?" Jehovah's Witnesses say, "Yes." As the Mormons, "Do you believe that Jesus is the brother of Lucifer?" And as the Jehovah's Witnesses, "Jesus is a created person." They say, "Yes." I say, "You know what? You have a different doctrine. My Bible says differently. Your doctrine is different. Your doctrine is not the true doctrine of God. Your doctrine is of the devil. Your doctrine doesn't tell the truth. Your watchtower has lied to you. Joseph Smith has lied to you. The Bible tells the truth. And tell the truth." And they may get angry and go. But who knows? One day God will open their eyes. So we got to tell the truth. In the same way to the Roman Catholics. You got to tell the truth. Don't worship images. The Bible says not to. Show the scriptures. The Bible is telling the truth. And we got to show the truth. And let God be true and every man a liar. Let's pray.